Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hello, celebrity gossip enthusiasts. I'm Us Weekly's entertainment director, Travis Cronin. You're listening to Us Weekly's Hot Hollywood Podcast, the podcast where we uncover all of the celebrity news of the week, dig in deep, and tell you everything you need to know just to sound like a learned member of society. Well, glad it's not just me screaming at a screen, because I have my two amazing co-hosts. I mean, arbiter of everything, beauty, style, and just a nice person, Gwen Flamberg.
You know, I feel like you should identify me as the nice person before the fact that I'm an arbiter, but it's okay. I'll take it. Hi, guys.
All right. And nice person as well, baby girl, now baby woman, Sarah Huron, and the best bridesmaid that $0 can buy.
Oh, wow. Never a bride, always a bridesmaid. Hello, everyone.
Hello. Well, we have a huge news week to get into. There was just all types of A-list stuff going on since we missed last week. But of course, before we start that, let's just start them off a little easy. And let's ask our co-host what story just made them grab their proverbial pearls this week. Gwen Flamberg, what made you go aghast and grab your pearls this week?
Oh my God, you guys, I cannot believe that Serena Williams is retiring from tennis. Serena was on the cover of the September issue of Vogue, no doubt the most important issue in the magazine's lineup for the year. And she announced that she was retiring from tennis. Now, I don't know if you guys know this. I'm from Forest Hills, Forest Hills, Queens. And maybe you all go to that Forest Hills stadium to see music, but that's not what it started as. It's a tennis stadium. It was a tennis stadium where even the U.S. Open was played. I loved tennis. I was even a ball girl in my teen years. Huge tennis fan my whole life. Serena, and of course, her like fabulous tennis dresses and skirts that she designed and would wear. I can't believe that she's retiring from tennis. Will no doubt go down as, you know, the GOAT, the GOAT, if you will. But really what made me clutch my pearls, guys, was that dang Balenciaga gown that was in a fold-out cover with none other than her daughter, Olympia, holding it at the end. Made my heart melt. I love that family. Alexis Ohanian is such a good human, as well as being like hot and a rich dude. Serena really struck gold. That family is beautiful. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to miss her on the tennis court, but I can't wait to see what she does next.
Oh my God, agreed. Her daughter holding the end of that in the fold out really did it for me. And it was nice to see Balenciaga and someone else who isn't Kim Kardashian. Yeah. It just looked like very nice. It was, you know, styled down a little bit.
Balenciaga, as you know, I think that Balenciaga is intended to be a high couture house. And I also just loved this sentiment of Olympia holding the gown. It was cute. It was adorable, obviously, but I think it's a bit of foreshadowing that Serena is leaving tennis to lift up girls and women. And, you know, Olympia, of course, will be the next generation. So I love the whole thing. Yeah, the dress was outrageously amazing. Thank you, Balenciaga.
It was gorge. Baby girl, Sarah Huron, is this about a mother-daughter high fashion hot couture duo that is your woe of the week or nah?
Not quite. It's a little less uplifting, but it is about a daughter, kind of. There's a daughter involved. I don't know if you guys remember a couple months ago, how could you forget, when Olivia Wilde was served with custody papers at CinemaCon while presenting Don't Worry, Darling, which finally hits theaters next month, at CinemaCon, and Jason Sudeikis, her former fiance, had her served with custody papers for Daisy and Otis. We heard back then that Jason didn't intend to take away from Olivia's moment, that it was, you know, when you're served kind of thing. But in new court documents that are quite explosive, the two of them are not as amicable as things may have seemed, you guys, between Jason and Olivia. She is alleging that he deliberately did this, saying, quote, "Jason's actions were clearly intended to threaten me and catch me off guard. He could have served me discreetly, but instead he chose to serve me in the most aggressive manner possible. The fact that Jason would embarrass me professionally and put our personal conflict on public display in this manner is extremely contrary to our children's best interests. Since Jason has made it clear that we will not be able to work this out for our children's sake outside of the court system, I filed a petition for custody in Los Angeles." So Olivia wants to raise the kids in LA and London, which they have been doing. Jason, who's going to be on a break from filming Ted Lasso, would like to be in New York and have the kids be raised in Brooklyn and go to school in Brooklyn as they get to that age of being in school. He fired back in his own documents, explaining that he, quote, "did not want to service the service to take place at the home of Olivia's current partner, aka Harry Styles.
Oh my God, Dad.
Because Otis and Daisy might be present. I did not want to serve the service to take place at the children's school because parents might be present. I understand that the process server had only done their job. However, I deeply regret what happened. Olivia's talk was both important for Olivia, both professionally and personally, and I'm very, very sorry that the incident marred her special moment." And again, his documents go into the fact that he believes the kids should be raised in New York City and not enrolled in London school in 2023, which is what Olivia intends. The Harry Styles name drop in court documents, you guys.
Well, also just that, like, this is, I've wondered for so long, do Daisy and Otis spend time with Harry Styles? And obviously they stay at his house. And I just dead, wipe me off the floor.
It is just also just so sad for this family. I don't know what to believe.
Travis, Jason, always bringing it down when we're like, juicy court documents. And you're like, they're kids. And I'm like, yeah,
kids.
I know.
I'm sorry. School starts in what? Like a week? You know, it starts in like a week for them. And they don't know which country they're going to be living in. And just her getting served up there, Jason explaining it sort of makes me forgive him a little bit more. He's like, I didn't want to do it in front of the kids. But it seemed like revenge and pointed when he served her at the cinema. CinemaCon.
You'd think there's a mix between literally on stage at CinemaCon and like Harry Styles' house. Like even Erica Jane getting served at the airport. Like that was embarrassing, right? But not like like presenting your directorial like movie.
Right. But I feel like maybe this person couldn't get backstage access, like didn't have her flight information. So maybe the stage was the only place that they knew where she was going to be. But
if I ever get served, I kind of hope it happens in a wild way for the story.
Well, you're hearing anything.
You'll be hearing from my lawyer. So lucky, no one sued me.
It's like someone from the Church of Scientology like walks up to me next time I'm giving a wedding toast.
It would do much worse than Syria.
Well, anyway. My woe of the week was going to be that one of Brad Pitt's Bullet Train co-stars says that Brad Pitt has a shit list of actors he won't work with. But then the trailer for Discovery Plus's House of Hammer dropped. And that is absolutely my woe. This new trailer has three or four of his victims who have spoken out against Armie Hammer, detailing everything that he said and did to them. There are audio files, there are text messages, and it is really messed up. I'm not even going to go into the really grossness, but, you know, and this is telling a lot about the documentary, that the least gross thing is, he says to one of the women, Courtney, the first woman who came forward, "I am 100% a cannibal." I mean,
what would you do if you were dating somebody, you were on like your third date and they said this to you? Like, would you just like laugh nervously and like, you know, move on to dessert? Yeah. Or would you take them seriously?
I would not take them seriously, especially if I was like a young up and coming actress or model out with Armie Hammer and he said he was a cannibal. I'd be like, you're so silly. That must mean something like sexy, but not cannibalistic and brutalist.
I don't know. I think I'd take it seriously.
Really?
I mean, is it? I don't know. Maybe just knowing what I know now because of Armie Hammer, like if this was pre this, like if someone said it to me now, I'd be like, oh my God, you're Armie Hammer.
Right.
If it was pre like reading about him, like eating their bones, I don't know. It's hard to imagine a world where I don't know that, you know?
Every time someone orders ribs, I only think of him. So, you know, excited to, you know, cringe watch this whole thing, which is going to be gross, but it's our job. And I'm just honestly interested in all of these text messages because we've seen a lot, but it looks like there is more to come.
His poor kids. Daisy and Otis will be just fine hanging out with Harry. These kids are going to need a lot of therapy.
Of course.
Yeah, they are. Hope they're already in. Well, let us move on to the news of the week. I was wrong about 4 years because Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson have broken up. Now, you all probably have heard this by now. Kim Kardashian first sparked speculation in October 2021 during SNL when she was Jasmine and he was Aladdin. They shared that sweet kiss the way they were. And then they made their relationship Instagram official 2 months later, back-to-back red carpet debuts at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, Met Gala a week later. It seemed like it was going very, very well. Pete Davidson even said that he, while he was dating her, that he has hopes for marriage and fatherhood in the future. He said, I'm definitely a family guy. My favorite thing ever, which I've yet to achieve. I want a kid that's like my dream. A source told us it's upsetting for both of them, but it is what it is. We heard from sources that the two remain friends and have nothing but respect for each other. I only half believe when sources say that, but you know, that's what we got. But Pete Davidson is not doing so well with her ex, Kanye West. Now, we have talked about Pete Davidson was getting online bullied by Kanye West for about 9 months. He's spoken about his bipolar disorder and his suicide tendencies publicly, and Kanye still berated him. So we hear that luckily Pete Davidson is in counseling and therapy, whatever you want to call it,
for trauma therapy.
For what Kanye did to him over the last months, but Kanye gave him one last blow before he went, just something to kick off the therapy session with. He posted a fake photo of the cover of the New York Times saying Skeet dead at 23.
And 28.
28. Skeet dead at 28. And it's not good. And, you know, he, of course, said in his song about how he wants to beat him up. He sent my vision is crystal clear with all those K's, with the beautiful bed full of flowers to Kim Kardashian's house for Valentine's Day. And screenshots of the private communications with Kim talking about him. And he has now gone through, he's on his fifth divorce lawyer or looking for his sixth. It's all really, really bad on the Kanye front over there.
I mean, part of me was surprised. These two had me fooled. I was like, I think my guess was March, I want to say. And then I was like, once they made it past that and we saw the Met Gala, we got the glimpses on the show. I was like, oh my God, Kim is going to marry this man. This is going to happen. He had the tattoos. Like, I didn't know if they were going to be endgame forever, but I certainly thought, didn't know it was going to end when it did. I'm surprised. Granted, they're a lot busier now. I mean, Pete's in like a movie in Australia. Kim's got a lot going on. Summer with the kids, maybe not quite as fun as when they were in school. Kanye, probably a constant thorn in their side. We only know what was happening publicly. Imagine what was happening privately with all of them. And like, I feel bad for Pete. I think that dealing with Kanye was a lot. And I think that maybe he bit off more than he could chew with this whole situation. And I feel like we've heard that they're probably not going to get back together, but I am kind of rooting for them too.
I am too.
I would love for them to get back together, and only time and the Hulu show, The Kardashians, will tell all of us what happened and what's going to happen. But I totally had me fooled. I totally thought it was a real deal. But then all those tattoos, you know, guys, when a celebrity tattoos their lover's name on them, it's the love affair is like almost over. So alas,
those four tattoos, his cover up artist just working overtime, mm-hmm. billable hours on those for My Girl Is a Lawyer, the name of her kids. Can't wait to see what those become in paparazzi photos as, you know, they come out from him filming the Wizards movie with Orlando Bloom. Glad he can lean on Orlando Bloom during a time like this. He seems like a fun guy to go through a breakup with.
Definitely.
Definitely.
So let us go around and, you know, please comment on all of these and think you should who Pete should date next. I would love to see who you guys think Pete should date next. Sarah, please go first. Who is the next victim slash love of Pete's life?
Okay, so my initial one was Emrata because she's going through a divorce and she's also hot, seemingly his type. They could rebound together. Then I was thinking Selena Gomez would really be an interesting one in there because there's a lot of connections. You know, she's been in Hollywood for a long time. She might be dating that like producer she's been in Italy with, but they're also been friends for a while. So maybe Selena. But what I really want is to come full circle and Pete to settle down with Cassie David and have all of this have been just like a wild whirlwind where those two get back to each other and are just like so funny and laughing about all the craziness that had ensued with Ariana Grande and Kate Beckinsale and everybody else.
But Sarah, hell hath no fury like Cassie David. I don't think that those two would ever get back together. I don't think she would ever take him back.
A girl can dream.
True. My pick to date Pete next. And now bear with me, guys, because I really could see this. All right. Mindy Kaling. Mindy Kaling in the best shape of her life. Her second season of Never Have I Ever is about to debut. She is a power lady. She is a like a family minded gal. She had two babies on her own. We know that Pete likes to play baby daddy. I don't know. I think he likes a strong woman. I think she's funny. I think she'd, you know, have a lot of fun with him and then probably kick him to the curb. Who knows? The other pick that I have for Pete is Megan Fox. When Megan Fox and MGK eventually break up so that MGK could date our baby woman, Sarah Heron, it's only inevitable. Yeah. And I could see that being like, you know, it would get them all the play, would quench the thirst of, you know, a very public
scandal.
That's a good one. I also can't wait for baby woman to date MGK so I can finally have access to his hand-me-downs of his closet.
Everything he wears,
I just immediately want to steal. I want to steal it so bad. Well, my top pick for him is Halle Bailey of Chloe and Halle. Now, I think she is so gorgeous. She, you know, is single right now. I can just sort of see them working really well together. I don't know why it fits so much. Emrata, of course, great idea. But also, why not throw in someone who I really want to see him with? Jennifer Coolidge. I want to see him with Jennifer Coolidge or possibly Martha Stewart. I really want him to go
Queen Elizabeth.
Older. But Queen Elizabeth II is also, you know, an option, but I think less attainable. But I really want like a Jennifer Coolidge situation, like a beautiful, funny, older woman. I just think that would be amazing for Pete.
My real guest now is Lori Harvey.
Oh, I like it.
Ooh, yeah. I think, I hope she's, that could work out.
So many options, a little time.
So many options. Hopefully, if we know Pete, he hasn't been single for usually like a month or two. He was single before Kim Kardashian for a while, but before that, it was like.
Heartily, he dated the girl from Bridgerton.
Oh, yeah, I forgot remember? He was with her.
Last summer, they were at Wimbledon together.
Yeah, you forgot. My God.
The diamond of the season.
Right.
Oh, God. Well, then we should have our answer by next week. And please leave us comments. We want to read them on air who you think he should date next. All right. Let's move in to just this really tragic story of the week. Anne Heche, her rep tells us that she remains in critical condition since she crashed her vehicle into a Los Angeles residence on Friday. Over the weekend, Anne's representative said she was in stable condition following that information. But then later that day, things changed. And her rep told us that she remains in critical condition, slipping into a coma following the accident. She has a significant pulmonary injury that required mechanical ventilation and burns that require surgical intervention. She is currently being treated at the Grossman Burn Center. So sad. So Anne Heche had just come from a hair appointment. She was driving. She backed into a parking garage. And then after she hit the parking garage, she drove directly into a house. And the house caught on fire. Just couldn't go any worse. The woman whose homes it was talked to us and said that she lost everything except for a few damaged sentimental belongings. She was renting the house from a woman. We also spoke to the owner of the house, who was horrified that her house went down in flames too. And, you know, there's speculation from police that she could have been driving under the influence, and they've asked for a drop of her blood. But police sources tell us that they are not pushing to arrest her right now. They are letting her heal. But it's just a scary, sad situation for Anne Heche, who has had issues with substance in the back and in, you know, back in the day and leading up to today. And I feel so bad for everyone in that house and Anne Heche in that car, because you drive into a house and it catches on fire. Never have I heard of such an accident. It's just really sad.
Terribly, terribly sad. She has exhibited erratic behavior in the past. So, you know, who knows what's happening here, but just terrible. Burns are not great.
They sure are not. Well, let's take this up a notch. I can't wait to hear what Gwen has to say about the wedding of the century. Fight me if you don't think it is. Her hair was like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Tell us about Teresa Giudice Giudice, If You're Nasty's wedding, and what you thought of it, Gwen.
I mean, guys, the hair was sort of like Grecian goddess inspired. I'm not quite sure, but it was, there was a lot of extra hair in that style.
It wasn't all hers.
I mean, to me, it looked like there was like a mid-sized golden doodle that was somehow hopefully not harmed in the making of that hairstyle. But the hairstylist did tell us that the style cost $10,000 to create and had 1,500 bobby pins in there to hold that look up. I mean, guys, how many hours would it take to get 1,500 pins out?
I believe that she said on Radio Andy it was 2 to 3 hours with Louie from 2 to 4 in the morning helping her get the bobby pins out.
I mean, is that what you would want to be doing on your wedding night?
No.
Don't you just take a blowtorch to the whole thing and then just hit it off?
But listen, Teresa Giudice wants to be talked about. That's why she is the only, you know, New Jersey OG standing, one of the only OG housewives in general standing. She knows how to get attention. And every, you know, she got married to Juicy Joe the first time, had some big hair. Then they renewed their vows for the cover of probably Us Weekly or In Touch, even bigger. Yeah. And now this was the way to top it. It's if you look at the progression from her like wedding looks, I mean, this is incredibly over the top and insane, but it's what she had to do because she had to one-up anything from the past.
I mean, please, guys, if I ever get married, just let me make a decision based on how I want to look, not about what people would say about my hairstyle. Like, she must have also had a headache through her whole wedding.
Yeah, it was nice that it was plopped right on top so she didn't have that ponytail pull.
It must have been heavy, though.
Oh, God, I can't imagine. And there's also a huge crown on there.
Huge crown. I mean, she did look very beautiful. And more than that, I believe that she is truly, truly happy marrying Louis. But I thought, Travis, like, wow, the people who were very conspicuously absent from the wedding.
Yes.
What I couldn't stop thinking about.
Yeah, it definitely made me go, whoa. And here in the regular news, Melissa Gorga and Joe Gorga, very conspicuously absent from her sister-in-law's wedding. We've heard from a source that this could be due to a blow-up fight that they had while filming Real Housewives of New Jersey, where Teresa, as she's done sort of a lot of times in the past, accused Melissa Gorga of cheating on Joe. Now, Teresa has sort of done this to Melissa since she got on the show. She was like, you're a stripper. You're cheating on him. You're talking to him. It's sort of an age-old tale. But I am really excited that we have a firsthand account. So I would like to go to Sarah Heron. As being a resident of New Jersey and Real Housewives of New Jersey fan, how do you feel about this hair representing your state and the fact that Melissa and Joe were not at the wedding?
I feel great about the hair representing my state. I mean, it's giving the Bump It a whole new, like, potential comeback. And Melissa and Joe, listen, selfishly, it seems like it's going to be great television. New Jersey is at its best when the Gorgas and the Giudices are not on good terms. Is Joe going to regret the fact that Teresa is going to hold against him for the rest of his existence that he wasn't at her wedding? Absolutely. Will they get over this? Probably, because they've gotten over like physical blows. Teresa, like, you know, they've made comments with the, about the parents, like they've, and again, been a stripper gate, sprinkle cookies, whatever you want to say. They've gotten through worse, potentially. But I think it's really interesting that everyone else from Jersey was there. Jackie and Margaret, historically, very, very close to Melissa, not on good terms with Teresa. They were at the wedding. Dolores and Jennifer in the wedding. Yeah. I think that it's going to be good TV, and I think it's going to be a very rocky road, but I think that it was the best thing they could do for ratings, and I'm thankful.
I will be turning into, if nothing else, the wedding episode and the episodes leading up to
it. The finale of the Jersey is seemingly where they got into this fight about some allegations about an affair, leading into the Teresa couple episode wedding special. I mean, could Bravo have planned it better? Probably not.
Probably not. But Melissa and Teresa, when you say they've gotten over these fights, but they've always still hated each other to their core.
I mean, Teresa's still mad that Melissa's on the show and it's been a decade. So that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will never forget about those sprinkle cookies. They were so nice and so wrapped. She threw them right in the trash. And I don't think that they have gotten better, since then.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to them. Honestly, can't wait to watch it. And thank you, Gwen, beauty expert and Sarah here on New Jersey resident, for your thoughts on Teresa's hair. If you haven't seen it, look it up. Look at the memes. It's incredible. A hair not to be forgotten. No. Let's move on to Ashton Kutcher. So I feel like he had talked about his autoimmune disease before, but he talked about it a lot more on Access Hollywood from an upcoming episode of National Geographic's Running Wild with Bear Grylls, The Challenge. And Ashton said, like 2 years ago, I had this super weird, rare form of vasculitis. He said, it knocked out my vision, knocked out my hearing, knocked out all of my equilibrium. It took me like a year to build it all back up again. You really don't appreciate it until it's gone. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to see again. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to hear again. I don't know if I'm ever going to be walk again. I'm just lucky to be alive. Now, Ashton can see, hear, and walk now, but it's sort of a scary time when he was going through this and didn't know what the future held for him, and sort of losing your sight, equilibrium, vision. That is terrifying. Now, this disease also has affected another celebrity. He was, you know, in Caddyshack and all these. He died 4 years ago from it, so it is very serious. And I did not know that Ashton was in all of this trouble. Did you guys see this interview? I know you were shocked by at least the headline.
I did, because I wrote the headline that I think prompted Ashton Kutcher to then tweet out that this was 3 years ago and he's fine now. Okay. So I did watch the clip and write the headline. And I also looked this disease up on the Mayo Clinic as a journalist and doctor. And it can affect you short term or long term. It can have long term effect on your tissues, organs. But Ashton said that he's all good now. It was almost 3 years ago. So he said 2 years in the clip. So he probably filmed this appearance a year ago. But it is definitely really scary to feel like you're losing your motor skills, vision, sight, anything like that, have an episode if this rare condition. And I'm happy that he's doing well, because, you know, he had to be on that 90s show set. What would we do without Kelso in that 70s show spinoff?
True.
Very well said.
True. I love Ashton and Mila. I want to believe that, like, the love of their family is what nursed him back to health quickly.
And that amazing house that they have in Architectural Digest, one of my favorite celebrity homes. True. I mean, tens across the board. Well, let us go to another happy story. Well, it's bittersweet, but it's mainly happy. Khloe Kardashian has welcomed a new baby. Yes, it is a baby boy with Tristan third trimester Thompson. Was he in the delivery room? Probably not. Is he going to be an absent father? Also, probably not, because they say that he's a good dad. But, I mean, in this
Khloe
saga.
The kids with Khloe, at least.
The kids with Khloe right now. So are we happy for her? I've been talking to a lot of people about Khloe, and they're really disappointed in her, because Khloe was a lot of people's favorite Kardashian, and they just want her to love herself. And she's gone a little crazy with the augmentation cosmetic procedures. She has gone back to Tristan so many times. And I feel personally, I just want Khloe to love herself as much as I love Khloe. And it's just a sad situation for everyone involved, except for the beautiful kids. And I guess weekend dad, Tristan, who's apparently very good.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you're saying as far as wanting Chloe to love her as much as I love her. Hopefully, dear Lord, if you're out there, I don't know. Don't let this go. Girl, go back to Tristan third trimester Thompson. We must move on. Move the narrative. Move the story. My favorite part, though, is that Faye Resnick was at the morally corrupt Faye Resnick, as Beverly Hills fans will know her. She was
Tessa Hilton,
yeah. Baron Hilton's wife's baby shower with Kathy Hilton over the weekend. And we had a reporter there. And Aunt Faye just can't help it. She spilled the tea. She said that the baby's beautiful, that True is very curious about her new brother, and subtly snuck in there when asked, oh, was Tristan, you know, there when you spent the night at Kris Jenner's house with the new baby? And Faye said, you know, not my place to say, but no, he wasn't there.
Not my place to say.
Perfectly said, Faye Resnick. Yeah. Perfectly said.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, everybody knows what's going on here, but the great thing is that True has a sibling. And Chloe wanted another child. I just hope, as you stated very clearly, Sarah Heron, run, girl, run, run. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, watch Gone Girl and just get gone from him. And Us Weekly had an exclusive around this. We can officially say there were talks that Khloe Kardashian was dating a private equity investor that she met at a dinner party at Kim or Chris's house. Doesn't matter anymore because Us Weekly can reveal that they have broken up. Khloe and this private equity investor, who we are going to find out who he is sooner or later, but are sadly no longer together. I feel like I was clinging on so deeply. I was like, she's not dating a sports player who is much younger than her and probably not going to dog her. Private equity sounds so good for Chloe. I put a lot of eggs in this basket. I was sad to see it go away.
I think that this was Kim's way of being like, Chloe, we need you to get out there and start dating before the baby comes. You can dump this guy when the baby comes because you'll be busy, but we need Tristan to know that you have options, that you're not sitting at home sulking. Let's get you out there. Let's make sure the news knows you're dating. Tristan, go have fun in Mykonos. When the baby comes, we can dump this guy, but let's try to dip the toes in here.
That has spoken like someone who definitely has watched the Kardashians on Hulu, because that really did sound like Kim talking to Khloe.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that was very, very good. You need to be pretending to be eating a salad as you said that, but everything else.
Well, when we wrap this up, I'll go get my salad.
Nice. Okay, great.
Nice.
And we can't do a news podcast without talking about the sad, sad news. We were all so hopelessly devoted to her. Olivia Newton-John has passed. Her husband announced Olivia's death on Monday on all of her social media channels. He said, Dame Olivia Newton-John passed away peacefully at her ranch in Southern California this morning, surrounded by family and friends. We ask everyone, please respect the family's privacy during this difficult time. Now, Olivia has been a symbol of triumphs and hope for 30 years, sharing her journey with breast cancer. Her healing inspiration and pioneering experience with plant medicine continues with the Olivia Newton-John Foundation Fund, dedicated to researching plant medicine and cancers. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that donations be made in her memory to the foundation. Now, we all loved, you know, her in Xanadu and Greece and everything. And she was just such a beautiful person. I remember speaking to her for 25 Things You Don't Know About Me, which you should read. They're actually really good. And she was just such a kind-hearted and loving person. So just real sad. Just sad.
Love her. You know, Greece is one of my all times, as so many people. And if I, you know, had any sort of voice and didn't want to tarnish Olivia Newton-John's memory, I would burst out into hopelessly devoted to you right now, but I'll refrain.
Oh, yeah, that's probably good.
Sandra Thank D, you. Our queen.
Thank you.
Lousing, I mean, with virginity.
Loved going back. Exactly. I loved going back to those images of Sandy in Greece and like bad Sandy who like had a cigarette hanging out of her mouth. Like, it was such a different time, but truly iconic. Like, that was at that time, that was like female empowerment of like, you're going to control the narrative, girl. Like, this guy is not going to dictate who you are and what you want, and you can have what you want. So,
well, know, she God, changed for him, but you know, it's fine. Tomato.
This is, you know, 1980s.
Yeah.
Doing the 1950s.
Different time. Exactly. Doing the 1950s. Maybe it was even the 70s. I don't remember Greece, the first Greece.
Greece came out in 1978, but it was like the 50s.
Yes. Well, that, you know that. Yes.
Yeah.
We love that. And, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer, Grease 2, also love that too.
Stephanie, Stephanie Zanoni really did create feminism.
One of the best characters ever to grace the big screen.
I couldn't agree more.
That is what camp is made of. It is right there.
Cool rider, a rider that's cool.
I want a cool rider.
Yes. Well, please go donate to the Olivia Newton-John Foundation Fund if you're really missing her. She also has this great spa wellness retreat, the Gaia Resort in Australia, that, you know, you can book a stay at should you like to support her and the family. It's just really, really sad, guys. This was a celebrity passing that I feel like really hit home for a lot of people. Yeah. And I just saw everyone I knew in the world posting about it.
Super sad.
Yeah, well, that is all the news we have this week. We'll be back next week to say who Pete Davidson is now dating. Whether it be your comments, our wild speculations, or because he has moved on. Thank you so much to my hosts, Sarah and Gwen, for helping me spill all of this piping hot celebrity this week. Again, this is Travis Cronin, Us Weekly's Hot Hollywood Podcast, with your weekly peek into the glamour, glitter, fashion, favorite celebrities. Because after all, guys, celebrities, they're just like us.
Say it with us.
Just like us, except with more money and access. All right. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back next week. See you then.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.